Smoky Point Motor Inn. Talking today with Harold Ouse and Mrs. Ouse, your first name?
Edry.
Harold and Edry Ouse.
Edry. Spelling on that is?
E-D-R-I-E.
Well, that's the 10th anniversary?
50th.
Well, that's the 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
My gosh, we're up to 50th anniversary.
50th anniversary already.
Yeah, 50th anniversary.
Well, tell me about this getting married when you've got... Go ahead, in your words.
Well, let's see.
Well,
if we should start in 1934, we both lived in Watertown, and I was
South Dakota,
and I was appointed on the Civil Service Register for Fort Peck Dam when the Fort Peck Dam was first authorized,
mm-hmm.
and I was one of the first ones to come out there. I was appointed as a stenographer, but because women couldn't, there was no place for women out there at that time, so there was two male stenographers, mm-hmm. in the 9th District, because it covered all this territory up here.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a job, I got a job, appointed then because of being a male, and you didn't have to, and so I could get a lower grade than the women. If I competed with the women for those jobs, why, you'd have to have a score of about 98 or something like that, and I only had an 86.
Okay.
So I got appointed by Secretary of War at that time. That was
February
1934.
Uh-huh.
I got on the Great Northern and came out there, and all the rest of the young people from most of them from around Montana and Washington, Oregon, and Dakotas,
yeah.
and to head up the start up the administration end of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
what was the living quarters like when you got there?
Well, the first three or four nights we had to sleep in a hotel lobby.
That big hotel that's still there,
Shannon,
or
Shannon,
oh no, in
Shannon Hotel
in 1934.
Yeah.
The Shannon Hotel.
This was okay.
It's still there, but it's
Okay.
So we all us young fellows
slept in the lobby.
It was our first jobs, you see, because mm-hmm. we were all young, and I was the ones that brought over there, that brought in.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I worked in a warehouse, which started receiving materials from all up from the Missouri River. At Kansas City, we were shipped up there.
Uh-huh.
And then when all our administrative people got there, the new ones, these were all new ones, why, we started an office in Glasgow there.
Uh-huh, okay.
And then I was a receiver of materials then on the depot, and
mm-hmm.
loaded the stone boats out, and hauled them over the dam. You know, you probably heard that, saw that.
Well, tell me about
that story.
Tell me about the stone boats. What were they like?
Well, they were the old fashioned stone boats where you hauled axes and pickaxes and stuff, so the people could, so the new hires that you
mm-hmm.
could go out and clear that reservoir area.
Mm-hmm.
Clear that area.
Okay. Were they what we talked about as stone boats on the ranch? Their skids. Dry land sleds, sort of.
Dry land sleds.
Yeah.
You're too young to know about this.
Well, pretty much. That's right. See?
We can remember that from because we lived on farms
yeah.
in North and South Dakota and
Montana. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were these stone boats, were they pulled by horses or by...
Oh, by horses, yeah. Didn't have any roads out there.
Didn't have any roads yet. Okay.
They had to build railroads, didn't they?
Okay.
Let me get...
Get Mrs. Oss on the scene here. Now you
probably remember
you knew each other in Watertown.
Yes, we were in Watertown.
And so, what, you came out when he finally got some money in his pocket?
Yeah.
Well, I got my first paycheck. Of course,
okay.
That time, those times, we got $90 a month, which was big pay then.
Okay.
For civil service, government civil service people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That was pretty good, yeah,
mm-hmm.
comparatively.
And then I said, send her enough money, what is it, $35 or $40 to come?
I don't know.
And we got married the next day, and then we finally...
This is in Glasgow.
Yeah, yeah, Glasgow.
And we finally got our... Mm-hmm. Finally rented a room.
One room.
We got
kitchen and the hall.
kitchen, bathroom in the hall, and it was owned by the dentist.
Shared by two other.
Yeah, shared by two other people. But in that, those days up there in Tasca, Montana, where you had to pile all these new people wherever you could find a place to.
Yeah, yeah. I got to tell you, Glasgow now is a pretty sickly looking kind of town.
Yeah, things have changed
they
now.
Sure have.
During those days when you had all those boom towns around there, like Wheeler and Park Grove, and all down by the dredge cuts down there.
Were any of those built when you first got there, Harold?
No, when I first got there, there was Deaton Roads.
No roads. No.
One of my first jobs was to start buying, shipping in stuff for the rail to build that railroad, so you could.
Is that the spur line down?
The spur line from Nashua.
From Nashua to the dam site.
Across the Milk River. And then we built a warehouse down there on right below where the dam is now, right below by the spillway. And then we worked in there for about a year before we got the houses built up on the top. Then we got one of those $18 a month houses.
Okay. What street were you on there?
We was on Gasconade for a while, and then I finally after 4 or 5, then Sioux Street for a while, because they're all gone now. Then after I got a few promotions, where I finally moved down to the row. They used to call it the row in those days, you know, with the permanent houses.
Oh yeah,
at the point.
13 permanent houses.
13 permanent. Houses.
But that was after the war.
Yeah.
After World War II.
Yeah. What were these original houses like?
We had a duplex.
Well, they were kind of a cardboard walls.
Kind of beaver board sort of thing, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Brown, we didn't have any linoleum. The floor was wood, though. We had to put down the linoleum in the kitchen. We had to put down, and we had a folding bed that came down.
A Murphy bed, whatever they used to call those things, yeah.
A bathroom. We had a stove in the kitchen and a dinette built in the kitchen.
How was it in the winter?
It was fine.
We were there when I walked to work one day when it was 62 below. You saw that. I imagine you saw that postcard with the thermometers on it, 62 above to 62 below.
Yeah, right.
On Gasconade Street, we were living in the first houses on that street that came down to the administration building down there. I walked down there.
Well, we didn't have a car.
No, we didn't. We couldn't afford a car. Nobody else could afford a car.
Not until 38, wasn't it?
You said you were in on the building of the spur line railroad. Was there also a road built from Glasgow down?
Especially? Yeah, the road up the hill from Glasgow down.
That was built particularly for the dam.
Yeah, through Wheeler, I don't know if Wheeler isn't there now. Last year was the first time you saw it. But that was the old Roosevelt Wheeler.
Right.
And Wheeler was, he was a senator, wasn't he?
Yeah, although I heard a story wasn't named after him. I wonder if that's right. Somebody told me it was named after a local Wheeler, but I don't know.
I never heard that one.
Yeah, okay.
I thought it was
yeah, yeah, you think it would be.
That's where all the boomers went.
It was no compliment to him.
Wheeler was that the kind of the toughest, roughest of the.
We had a lot of good times there,
the
though.
The dancers, the 10-cent dancers.
The 10-cent dancers,
yeah. 10 cents and dance.
And bars.
Yeah.
That's all they had there, and everybody built their own shacks. And then down below, of course, was the same thing. Only quite a group of people were down there.
And which community was that then? Is that?
Oh, that was, let's see, they called it Park Grove was one of them.
Park Grove.
Three or four of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Lived in tents and everything else. That was while they were still starting to clear the dam. See, the people only got 35 to 50 cents an hour at that time. So they had lived in tents. So some of them with their families and stuff. Came all from all the Billings and all down around that country.
Well, there must have been quite a flood of people to watch come in there.
Oh, there was, yeah.
Yeah.
To see, got to watch them all.
Yeah, yeah. So your job at the dam was largely bringing supplies of various kinds?
Well, that was in the first time. Later on, I was a contract specialist. I did the contracting work for and the spec writing, and I was a purchasing agent for the whole place, too.
For the entire project?
Yeah. That was in a, yeah, that was, well, probably, that didn't happen until most of the time after the war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we started, we knew the war was coming, you know, see, in 38 to 39.
38 through 40, yeah.
And so we started building those satellite airfields all around the country. We had seven of those, and I had to do the contract.
Come on
here.
I got it.
Yeah. I thought I saw him this morning in there. You're welcome.
So I was doing the contracting for all those satellite airfields, and then buying and building the, what we call the Jap Trap down in Cody, Wyoming. You probably knew that.
No, now that's a new one on me. What's that?
That's when they shipped all the Japanese from the coast.
I see internment camp.
First job, my job then was to. They called for Washington one night and said that there was a trainload of lumber coming, and you go down on this.
To Cody.
Meet that, and the railroad had the site picked out. And I had was supposed to buy all the nails and stuff I could get out of and cement you could get out of. And so we're down there, and I had one of the men that worked for me send him down there to take care of the supply. And of course, everything in those days came pretty fast.
Yeah, yeah, right. So I guess they did.
One night we hear it, and then I get on the. I have to go down there. So you did, in those days, you didn't have airplanes.
Get on the train.
Ride all night on the train. On the, no, well, I couldn't get the train either. Just take a car then. Mm-hmm. We had the old cars.
Uh-huh.
So that was quite an experiencing thing.
Yeah, yeah. How long were you down there on that job? Is this?
Oh, that job didn't take long. By that time, you had to build up in Helena, you had to build the dog training camps up there.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. You know, a job was supposed to get those
things. Did you have a hospital?
Well, that was after the war again, then we built all the VA hospitals around there.
Okay.
And the airstrips in Rapid City?
The airstrips, yeah. We had the first seven major airports, you know, for that war. Great Falls and Rapid City and.
So that'd be what's now Malmstrom at Great Falls, I guess.
Yeah, Malmstrom. Well, there's two of them there then. Now it's Malmstrom and it's all
Gore Hill, I guess, was the original.
We had two of them there. We called them Great Falls Air Force Base.
So were you up there, what'd you say, until 1950 something?
I was extra. You went to Army in 43, didn't you?
We got back from the Army in what?
46.
46. Back to.
Yeah,
Glasgow.
And I went, of course, I was working for the Corps of Engineers then, so I got to enlist. I was a chief executive. Now, I had a division, and I had three or four, more than that, I guess, deferments.
Yeah.
But we didn't have any children, and when they started taking people that were working for me with four kids, well, I guess I had to get out of there.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And then working for the Corps of Engineers, whether I could list in any branch I wanted.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Where'd you end up during the war?
Oh, I wound up in New Guinea and the Philippines.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Same sort of work, or did they put you to something you had something else?
No, I went in there, I was as a private. I was going to be a nice, soft, easy job, so pretty soon your record come down, they find out that I was a stenographer.
Uh-huh.
And here I go to the court-martials.
Uh-huh.
Court-martials and headquarters. Mm-hmm. Pretty soon I was a sergeant major of the headquarters.
Of
the battalion.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
That was me.
Can't get away from your talents, huh?
No, they keep up with you. Well, gee whiz, in those days, most of the guys came from Brooklyn or something like that. They couldn't even write.
Yeah. What was your training as a stenographer? Did that include shorthand? Or?
Yeah, I was a shorthand writer.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you learn that?
Mankato, Minnesota.
Did
I wanted to be a congressional reporter. And, of course, that was about the time the machine's in, so I wanted to be a congressional reporter. I was interested in law and that, and government. But I never did, become a Montana lawyer.
Yeah, right.
I don't know, I took correspondence course after that, but...
Uh-huh.
Of course, after I got hired as a stenographer, well, then I never did any stenographer work. Mm-hmm. It was pencil pushing all the time, or...
Yeah.
Leading the... get something more ambitious.
Uh-huh. Well, tell me about some of the other people who were there with you at Fort Peck. Who were your neighbors and so forth? Where did they come?
Let's see. One of our neighbors was the Gunters in Harvey, Minnesota.
Well, first, I think most outstanding was Ray. Ray.
Oh, Ray Stringer.
Stringer, yeah. He got you up to the ad building. Got you a job in the ad building. Remember? Administration. So he came from the warehouse.
I was an invoice clerk then at that time. And I went in
up to the administration, which was kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Ray Stringer was our neighbor, and we played pinochle with him.
Was this kind of a entertainment of your part of town playing pinochle?
Well, the neighbors said we had a club, pinochle club.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Everybody was young now, mostly on their first jobs, and I came from all the farms around there. That I'm talking about, mostly the administrative type. The other ones that were working out in the fields and were more that came from the farms and other places looking for jobs. Mm-hmm. Then most of the engineers and stuff, they came out of Bozeman.
Maybe some from south.
I was going to ask.
From mostly of Kansas City.
Out of that, part of the engineers' district.
They didn't like it very well,
the Southerners. it must have been pretty hard.
Yeah, the rest of us up there were all Northerners. We didn't know Southerners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now we talk to them after 50 years. Why, those that are up here and stayed up here, why... they come down south and they see something different.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's just a little different.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Well, like during the war period, you know, when the Japanese moved from here to our, what we call, Jap Trap.
Uh-huh.
Of course, you read about them in the papers now, trying to get in their
money.
Yeah.
Getting
compensated for that.
Yeah. Money for that.
Yeah, a lot of history has turned around.
Of course, that's the older people that were down there in the war, and those places and built that thing. Why, we have a little different thoughts about it then. Well, all the people that live down here do too.
Yeah, yeah. Was that the Heart Mountain camp, or?
Yeah, that was Heart Mountain.
I don't remember. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think it was. I went to. I went to the Army shortly after I started that.
Yeah, okay. Describe this warehouse situation, Harold, when you got there.
Yeah, we built the warehouse.
A single colossal warehouse?
Big colossal warehouse.
Wasn't that upstairs? You were upstairs.
Yeah, our office was upstairs where I was invoice clerk for everything that came in from the Spur Railroad, from the railroad from Nashua.
Mm-hmm.
And then, incidentally, Eleanor Roosevelt was there when the Roosevelts came out there.
FDR.
And she...
Was she?
She used my office chair for her seat.
Well, all right.
And then later on, Harry Truman came up there.
Uh-huh.
You probably know the dates of that.
Yeah.
Then I had to drive Mrs. Truman and...
And Bess.
And Bess and
Margaret.
Margaret. Not Margaret.
Margaret and Bess and the Colonel's wife.
Were they all three in there? Mm-hmm. And Senator.
Oh, yeah.
Murray?
No.
No, the one that went to Japan. What was his?
Mansfield.
Mansfield. The one that. The one that got the hospital in. Veterans Hospital from Montana.
Yeah.
Built that trip down there.
Yeah.
He was the other side of that.
Well, each section head was asked to drive a chauffeur, so it wasn't just us.
Uh-huh.
And I happened to be president of the Lutheran Ladies' Aid And I was chosen the three. Then we got three churches, Community, Catholic, and Lutheran. And the three of us were asked to serve at the, when Truman came in for a break, and coffee and cake. And I was privileged to be right there with him.
Okay.
Did you have any of that in here?
I think our name and our thing is in there.
No, I don't think so. Didn't write it. You know, no one had mentioned churches there. But we had three nice churches in Fort Peck.
What was the community church, Mrs. Oz? What kind of denomination is that?
That was everything but Lutheran.
Everything that wasn't Lutheran or Catholic?
Yeah, I would say congregational.
Congregational, okay.
Presbyterian.
Okay.
But the Lutherans were the only ones that built a church.
No, I could try
it. And it's an art museum here today.
I only put
art
in there
gallery.
What I did. That's ours.
Oh, I see. You're pretty terse on yours here, Harold. So, yeah.
Well, as that...
I could have written a lot more.
You could write a lot of stuff. But there's the names of the most of the people
I see
always
that.
Went down to...
to
Mesa.
The Pat, or Mesa. The Mesa. Yeah, okay,
and,
good.
Kind of
I don't think we're
going to
meet anymore.
Huh?
I don't think they're going to have a meeting.
You think
anymore.
They may not do that again?
No,
huh?
they're dying off.
We're getting too old to get together.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Wait, so. Oh, yeah, look at the one. Like the old timers in there, here's like... that was the postmaster, you see, for Fort Peck from the very beginning. Well, his parents lived there.
Eschen.
Foundation.
You probably got that kind of stuff.
He's
from
the New Deal.
And there's Bobby Wimmer's name and their addresses up there.
Down there. I think that's Arizona.
Wimmer's was the old-time rancher up there.
Still is. His son is.
Montfort. Their name is in there.
Their name's in here.
And she's an artist, and she has made some dioramas of the old history of Montana, and some are in the state capitol in Billings, I hear. So she's quite. She would be one. They've been farming now too there. Vandalia.
Yes, I do. It is done.
Very
little town.
Yeah, I don't know the town.
Yeah. Did you both grow up in Dakota? Are you both from South Dakota? Or?
Yeah, South Dakota. I was born in Iowa. Schooled in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and raised in North Dakota on the farm in out by Reeder in Bowman County. And back to Canton, South Dakota, where all our origin relatives came from. And then I went to Watertown, and that's where I got, then to Mankato Business College, and then that's where I got my job to come out there.
Okay.
Let's talk about, 55 years ago now.
Yeah.
56.
Did you have this booklet?
I think I've seen that one. Yeah,
I think that was our first reunion out there. You've probably seen this one from at the administration.
Yeah,
building out there.
Pretty sure.
And
I did.
You know where to write to the Omaha district to get all these things.
Yeah,
I understand that there's a second issue publication.
Second
of
one,
that
of, one of these. Okay, good. Well, let me ask you some details of kind of your day-to-day life of. Where'd you buy your groceries, things like
that?
Well,
when we first built the Fort Peck town, we had all that in there. Mm-hmm. All, well, a grocery store and one of those.
Regular kind of downtown was built along with everything else, I guess.
Yeah, just that one little place.
Yeah.
Nothing there now.
Yeah.
And we got our leased space to whoever wanted to come in and get it.
Concessionaires,
as we call
them. So did the Corps actually own the town, so to speak?
Oh, yeah, we owned it. The Corps, the Army owned everything.
Right. So there was a grocery store and a butcher shop, you said?
Yeah, we had a butcher shop. And a drugstore and a dry department store, a little everything.
Dry goods? Dry goods store?
Well, that only lasted...
Washing machines and everything.
That only lasted for 3 or 4 years, didn't it? While the dam was being
built.
The main parts of it was being built.
Yeah.
Then they had that big barracks area up north where all the single laborers, people, all the single people lived there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the outskirts were the towns like Wheeler and Park Grove and
New Deal, they called them.
Mushroom towns, we called them. That's a good phrase.
We also had the red light district.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I understand. Which one was
they
that in?
They all came from Miles City.
They came from Miles City?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It was a little place all by itself.
Is that Happy Hollow?
Happy Hollow.
Same
one.
And did I read the Riding Academy was another nickname for it or something?
Yeah, we had lots of nicknames.
All right.
Of course, that was right next to the beer joints and
I wasn't in Fort Dick.
Yeah.
Was it close to Wheeler?
All around, yeah.
Yeah.
Right around in Wheeler.
Yeah. This must have been an overwhelmingly young male community, right?
Yeah.
So
that's the only ones could really stand there and have a place to live around there, because you had to practically build your own shacks in the places, because we couldn't get the things built, and if they did, why, it probably cost them about $18 a week, and where they're 50 cents now, I didn't go for it.
And so people put up tents at first and then built kind of shacks. Was this sort of the...
Tents and shacks and everything.
Yeah. Do you know what was the eventual population there at its height of its boom? Do you have any idea, Harold? Mrs. Howe?
Yeah, it tells
in here? Okay. I know it was several thousand, wasn't it?
25,000 or 30,000.
You've got that one.
Yeah.
And you've got the first issue of Life, I suppose.
Yes.
You didn't bring that along.
Yeah, I've got a copy of that, in fact.
Margaret Burke White. Mm-hmm. She was.
Yeah, did you see her?
Yeah, she was in my office one day because I was working for the contract branch.
Uh-huh. Well, tell me about her. How did she strike you?
Well, heck, she was such a busy gal and running around, so I didn't even get to talk to her very much.
Do you remember how she was dressed or anything like that? I remember thinking, well, gosh, this is what a swanky New York woman looks like, or did she look like she was working?
Well, she was a combination of both of them, really. She was, she knew she was Margaret Burke White, she was out there, but she was very efficient, and she knew what she was there for. Didn't take her long, and she didn't stay too long.
Yeah.
But she got out of the first issue of Life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, put the Spillway on the cover, didn't they? Put the Spillway on, called it the Dam,
we contracted for that from the very beginning. Of course, when we went out there, there wasn't anything there but snakes and bentonite rock.
Yeah.
When we had to slide out there at the Spillway, too, we had to slide at the Spillway.
Yeah.
Besides the main slide at the Fort Peck Band.
Yeah. Was anybody killed in the Spillway slide?
I can't remember if there was. Huh? That was just a slide of bentonite while the engineers then were learning what controlled earth was in those days.
Yeah, you
know, when building the dam and what bentonite was. Mm-hmm. And that get wet when you got wet. When that got wet, you had slippery soapstone.
Pretty skiddy stuff. Yeah. All right. So. So what kinds of things were you in charge of getting into this warehouse? I mean, this is concrete, tools and so forth.
Well, we got everything that it takes to build the dam and clear the site.
Yeah.
Came in there.
Uh-huh.
And you see, what we had to have a laundry, and you had to have every kind of food shipped in for those barracks and everything up there, and all those men who were there, so you had to have everything in there.
Yeah.
And then you had to have everything from picks and shovels and all the nuts and bolts you could think of and all this stuff and all the materials to build all those dredges. We had the biggest boat yard in the Midwest, you know.
Yeah, that's right. I read that.
And they all came out, all the shipbuilders came out from here and down there.
Uh-huh.
Of course, they were all alone. Very few of them could bring a family in unless they brought a tent or something along with it and made a shack down in the creek someplace. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Did all the materials for the shipbuilding have to come in, or were they able to use anything native to
No, everything, everything came
everything,
in.
Everything had to come in, didn't it?
Big old timbers and stuff to build boats.
Yeah.
I don't know what the names of all those tools were anymore, but they all came in the warehouse, and we had to check them in and check them out. I had to took care of all the invoices for all that stuff. Mm-hmm.
What did that site look like before the dam and the lake? Was it wooded, anything down there?
Nothing there except like a creek going by there.
Looked like a creek.
Well, a pretty big creek in the Missouri River. You see that point out there where the dam is on that west side?
Yeah.
That used to be the Indian village, didn't it? The way I understood it, used to be old Fort Peck.
Yes, I think that's
Army
right.
Army village.
And trading,
it's one of these
trading camp.
Trading camp.
Trading camp was there in the early days, too, yeah.
That's where
I remember some mesas or gullies, we called them. The town was set up on a kind of a mesa.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. That was at the point.
Yeah, and the river was...
That's where our dog is buried.
Yeah, they
bury him out there at the point where he get low. Yeah. He got distemper, so I had to take him out.
I see, so you took him out on...
Buried him in, he's still there.
That's a pretty scenic...
60 years ago.
...distinguished place, yeah. Gosh, I'd forgotten distemper. Our dogs used to get that. I grew up in a sheep ranching family
did you?
In Montana, so we always had dogs and, and so on, yeah.
Etchard's. I always remember Etchard's sheep ranch in Glasgow, near Glasgow.
Ah.
We rented from them.
Oh, when you lived in Glasgow?
Uh-huh. We had to live in Glasgow 9 months, wasn't it, before the houses
were built?
Yeah,
we were building the houses before we got out there. That's when we had to live in with...
Well, what did Glasgow seem like at that time? Was it pretty much boomtown?
Well, that was really boomtown. Yeah. When we all came in there around February 14th, right after Roosevelt got in and the bill was signed.
A lot of
money
you.
Right after the money was released.
A lot of you came in at once.
Yeah. Oh, they all came in at once.
Mm-hmm.
No place to sleep.
Couldn't buy much furniture.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they couldn't get enough furniture. Ordered to.
Yeah, Glasgow was quite a boom town.
To finish our houses.
Yeah.
Probably just like the old movies that we see now.
Yeah.
That's where it was.
Gumbo streets. Gumbo.
When you got there,
I was kidding about the gumbo. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When it rained, it was just sticky.
Walking up and down the streets of Glasgow.
Yeah.
Wonder if the old courier, Glasgow courier, is on the same street?
Oh, I think so.
You know, I don't know where that's located.
Well, see, the editor died, I was heard some time ago, of the Glasgow courier.
Mm-hmm. They're certainly a trusting bunch. I ran that little ad that Rosemarie saw, and they ran it 3 times as I requested. About a month later, they billed me.
So,
no cash on the barrel head. They went ahead and did it. So,
that's good.
And I had half a dozen responses out of that so far, I guess. So,
you could probably, a lot of those old timers are died, but you can find some in there. We can mark the names of those. Did you know anything about the Montforts out there? Ira Turtelot, there used to be the land agent that we had. His name was for the administration out there. He was a representative. Of course, he worked for the government there.
Mm-hmm.
But he was an old timer. His name was Ira Turtelot. His son was Gene Turtelot. Mm-hmm. And they're both dead. Mm-hmm. But he used to go, he was the one that we used as the bird dog to go out to talk to all these the people that owned land down there. Because they didn't all come through with rights away, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Government didn't own everything down there. A lot of Indians there yet. We still had, if you found any Indian bones, even at those days, you had trouble right away. And he was the one that we used to say, send out all the time to deal with them and talk to them.
So was he a local guy?
Yeah, he was an old-timer there. If you ever been to Glasgow, you haven't heard of Ira Turtelot, well, you missed everything.
He wore the fur coat with the raccoon coat.
We had a poker club, and he was always in that.
He's mentioned it many times.
Okay.
That book there,
lived next door to him.
Huh?
We lived next door to them for a while.
Yeah, for a while.
Yeah.
His daughter-in-law still lives in Glasgow, Helen.
How old a man was he then?
Oh, heck, he was an old man when we were there. And we were 28, 29, he was 70. We used to, every payday, well, we had poker game. A bunch of the division heads and stuff around there.
Uh-huh.
And he was always there.
Uh-huh. Okay.
He was
It's pretty tough poker played by...
Oh, yeah. And his son, Gene Turtelot, was the one that... that
saved them.
Saved the...
Colonels.
Okay, that, yes. You know, now, I know that.
They drove the car.
Yes.
When the slide.
I got
that's
you.
Gene,
yes.
It's his dad. And Gene just died now, but his wife is still up there.
Yeah.
And she knows all those old people down there, too.
Okay.
That's.
All right. My gosh, there are a lot of people involved in.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of old timers in Glasgow.
Yeah.
Those old ranchers up around Seiko. Rock came from, and Little Rockies out there, that's the first place we went. Now I guess it's all underwater. They had the gold mines or something out there in the Little Rockies, didn't they? Under the lake now?
I don't know. There still is one going in the Little Rockies. I was there summer before last, but
I see. Guatemala. That's up the northern end. That isn't covered up.
But was there much?
Lots of fun there.
Pardon?
Lots of fun.
Lots of fun.
Yeah,
you remember?
Yeah, big dances.
Well, yeah.
That's right. Okay. Was there somewhere there Saturday?
Farmals. One New Year's Eve. I remember we kept the car running so that it would start again. And of course, the battery wore down, and the car wouldn't start again, so we had to walk home in the snow in our...
Had to walk home anyway.
Our sandals and formals, but we had our goulashes on.
Uh-huh.
But boy, I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
But we have, they put tables all around the Red Call, and we bring our own bottle. And our setups.
We brought our own bottle, or else, if you worked in the laboratory down there, well, they had the big... big 5-gallon jug siphon.
Siphon.
Where we all go and get our own drinks.
That's pretty good.
Of course, Archambos, which are mentioned in there, they lived down there too. The old timers, you probably heard of them.
I didn't know the pronunciation of that.
Yeah.
They're down. Meet us every year down there for 15 years.
Mesa. So these dances were in the rec room,
yeah,
did
the
you say?
Recreation hall. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They played handball.
There isn't any pictures in there.
Yeah. That's not the theater.
No, that's the theater.
That's the theater. Okay, this is something
it's
different.
It's across the street down.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so you still there.
So you'd really would get kind of duded up and formal.
Oh, absolutely.
That was the beginning of the younger age. Right?
Okay. Yeah. Where'd you get your music?
We had a local band around. Some played Glasgow.
Oh,
really.
You had lots
but some
of
from
musicians.
Portek were in them.
That was the
band.
Boom days,
yeah.
You know.
So you
the
get
Wheeler,
that many.
Wheeler had about half a dozen. Liquor joints.
Yeah.
Well, each one of them had a little band on Saturday night while the whole place went, got drunk and went. crazy up there. There's some of the guys that were down there on our first, that's the third or fourth. We all got together. And most of them are from Glasgow. I know Brock Smith was president of the bank there at that time.
He'd
come down there, but I didn't see him this year.
No. But he didn't live at Forkbeck. He wouldn't know the...
Yeah.
Helen and Louis Shamble, they were down here all the time.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Thank goodness, look up.
First
and
reunion.
There's the fourth one there.
First reunion was 78, I guess, or 76 or something here.
Yeah, right? You'll get some things out of that.
Yeah, all right.
Though both of those.
Okay.
Here's the stamped envelope you first gave me, and I cut it wrong.
Oh,
well, I guess we don't need that anymore.
Didn't really gain anything on that,
didn't
huh?
Didn't gain anything.
Uh-huh.
How did you keep busy at Fort Peck?
Well, played a lot of bridge.
Played a lot of bridge.
Yeah.
Those were the days when women working was kind of verboten.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And but then. So.
And we did a lot of sewing. We had sewed our own clothes.
Yeah.
And was busy with circles and ladies' aids.
Yeah.
Had to cut the yard lawn.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I remember the day that I had to sweep the. We had to put on in our own lawns, and one day it blew so much dust on it. We took a broom and swept to sweep it off.
Really?
It would kill us.
I'd go out and sweep the lawn after a dust storm. Huh? Uh-huh. Yeah.
When we were down in you called the row, then you know when they built the 13 permanent houses.
Yeah.
Well, I finally got in one of them. Got enough pull to get in one.
And
we had big lawns and everything then. And
gardens.
Lived on that edge where you just overlooked the warehouse.
Yeah.
So I could just take and walk down that hill.
Pictures of it remind me of a kind of a military base of some kind. Like
the
officers.
Principals that came there. Of course, the Army officers were always, and all the principal heads of the different departments were Army lieutenants out of the Fort Belvoir, and General Larkin, he was just a lieutenant when he first came there, and he was the first district engineer. You know. Then he went, of course, to Panama during the wartime.
Yeah, I see.
Became a general.
Okay.
So all of those principals were Army officers. So you got kind of into the Army rut.
Right, you were sort of in the Army before you were in the Army.
Yeah, if you wasn't in the Army, it wasn't much of anything. Yeah. So that's where the 13 houses belonged there until all the lieutenants, when they saw the war coming, they had to go to back to college and get their new ranks.
Yeah.
Big charge, like Larkin went and became the commander in Panama.
Okay. Now, was there a famously cold winter during the building of the dam?
Yeah, that's particularly the one we're talking about, 62 below in February, and the beginning of February, 62 above, 14th of February, and then, what is it,
62
30th below. Or something, it was 62
below. Yeah.
And you walk down the hill, and from our house, when I walked down that morning, why, everything, you crunched, it sounded like a cannon just walking with your feet.
You had to
cover up
your face.
Yeah.
And you got down there, I don't know why we ever came, but it warmed up.
What about ice on the river in that kind of weather? Is that?
Well, it was all ice.
It was all ice then.
That was before we even had the tunnels open, you see, then. Before the tunnels were built around. So it was just a river then.
Yeah.
So, did a lot of fishing through the ice there.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Walleyes.
Okay.
Yeah, we did.
The river reminds me of these dredges and so on. How many were there, do you remember?
Wasn't there four big
dredges? I know there were
four or five.
Three or four.
What the heck do we call them? Humpers? Madison, and Gallatin, and the three rivers out of three ports.
That's
one for each river.
Madison, Gallatin, and Jefferson.
Yeah. And when the war started, well, we had to ship them all over to, ship them to, I don't know where they all went. One went to, but anyway, I didn't get to see one again, but I think one went to the Philippines and one went to. They all went someplace. You could probably find out. From the Army up there. I didn't get to see one again, but we sent those, and then the rest of them, like the pumpers, the little ones, were sold. Boosters, they called them.
Boosters?
That was the little ones, actually the big ones.
Were there barges besides?
And there was
barges besides.
And they were all built.
Built right
I
there.
I guess that one year by all the shipwrights that came from out here.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they were the big guns then, those shipwrights, because I guess they made 60, 70 cents an hour or something like that.
Did they? That was colossal money then, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was compared to all the farmers that came
out
there looking for jobs, helping them. You know.
Those
bridges were really something.
Let's see, then I've seen pictures of divers, guys in diving.
What was our diver's name?
Diving suits.
He was down there a couple times. What is his name? Oh, you heard stories about the diver.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I don't think it's in here.
And the other guy that got lost in the airplane, we never found. You heard that story, I suppose.
No, I don't know. That doesn't ring with me.
Name?
What was that?
He was one of the fellows that lived out there we worked with. His wife was a teacher.
Who's that?
Yeah, what is his name? Erickson?
No.
Well, the teacher, she was had a kind of a crippled leg.
Are you talking about Esther?
Esther what?
Esther Erickson?
I think that was
Erickson, huh? So he took off in a private plane from
Fort Peck. I don't know too much of the details about that, but I remember the time he did because we knew him.
Uh-huh.
He sure was.
And vanished out over the lake.
Vanished out over there. I don't think they ever found
him. Not Esther's husband. No, talking about somebody else.
It wasn't Esther's
husband? He's still living, I think, almost. He's just...
No, you're thinking about Johnson.
Chuck.
Johnson was the photographer up there.
He's still living.
Yeah.
He was a photographer and the blueprint operator, so he...
I
don't think his name is in there any place unless you've heard it someplace else.
No.
He'd be a good source if he's still alive for information.
His name is...
Johnson.
Chuck Johnson.
Charles Johnson, I suppose it would be.
Yeah,
Chuck
and then
Johnson.
There was another, the surveyor that went out in the... What was his name? That was, we knew so well.
Mm-hmm.
There's some entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
These guys.
Yeah,
well, that book. I think you got that. Maybe you got that.
I don't know if you have or not.
I don't know if I have this one or not.
If you have it.
Yeah, I don't recognize this one.
Well,
so,
yeah.
Okay.
A little bit of history.
Well, that'll get a good start of history there.
Mm-hmm. 50th anniversary commemorative issue.
Where'd you get this? Someone
mailed it to us.
Oh.
Yeah, I think somebody. Is that the recent
that's
thing
the Billings,
about.
That's 87.
Oh, no, this is not
that's
one
the
I've
last
seen.
Reunion.
Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't. August 2nd, 87. Okay. All right. I'll photocopy these and send them back to you, Prado. So.
I got the stacks of clippings that we used to have down there too in the old days.
We threw them away.
Did we throw them away?
Yeah.
You keep everything. Pretty soon you have any place to.
I'm already at that situation
in our
house.
Are. You,
and, I didn't have anything like as important
you do
as
a lot
that,
of researching, huh?
As any of this. So, Well, I think.
It's too bad you missed the reunion.
Yeah. Well,
we had a few there that could tell you. A few from Glasgow too, that could have told you more.
Well, I will try.
Finally. Started the recreation part of the dam. They got some more money there from Congress to start the recreation part. And
how long did it take for the lake to fill up?
Oh, heck, it didn't take very long. It must have taken 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we used to, before that, we went hunting down there, and then after that, we went fishing down there in the same place.
Yeah.
We used to go down there and hunting out of... Montfort's from his ranch, he had a ranch down there, so we used to go out there and hunt deer. I never shot one, but we used to go hunting anyway, and that was the days of the guinea hens. When I can still remember that, just being down in the fields and watching the guinea hens walking across the top of the hills looked like a big parade of big birds, you know. Those are the big things. You know what they are? Guinea hens?
I don't by that nickname, I guess. Are they?
I guess not. That's what we call them all.
Are they sage hands or?
Big sage hands.
Big sage hands. Huh.
Big sage hands. We used to call them guinea hens because they didn't sound like it, you know, if they ever made noise.
Okay.
We used to go out and set out there in Montford's ranch and hunting deer there in Sydney, Montana. We used to go up to Sydney.
Yeah.
We had a lot of people from Sydney up there all the time.
Yeah. You mentioned snakes a couple times too. Is there were there a lot of rattlesnakes around there? Or?
Oh, there was not too many.
Not too many.
We got as many in Southern California.
Yeah.
But the idea is that was all there was out there where that spillway site at that time. Yeah, you could find all the snakes you wanted. And then most of the snakes were up there at Seco, you know, where we blasted the rock to bring down there. Well, heck, you'd blast the rock and you'd hit one of those fissures and out would come the snake. Blasted up. And they were a lot of snakes. I saw them one day when they was blasting rock up there and they hit one of those fissures and their snakes all fell down. Rattlesnakes and all kinds of.
Yeah.
That was in the spring when they were still in there for the winter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's makes quite a story about the snakes at Seco. Rock pile.
Yeah, that's.
I don't know all of it because I wasn't really up there at the time, but I did see some. I used to go up there on inspections once in a while.
Who did that rock work up there? Was that a contractor?
Yeah, that was all done by contractor. Yeah. I can't think of the name of the contractor.
Yeah, right.
Not all of it, because we had to build the lines and supervision.
Yeah.
But I think some of the contractors who did the workers, quarry workers and stuff.
Yeah,
that was good.
And do I remember that a lot of that rock was great, big.
Yeah, that's
stuff
a big
brought
stuff.
A size of a
that's
car
one of the things in the country. One of the things that we learned from Fort Peck Dam was how to control soil and how to build rocks and how to build ships inland and all that stuff. Lots of beginning things came out of that place.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, it was the first biggest earth filled dam,
right.
The first one. On the upper Mississippi, you know, after that, up to Missouri. And after that, well, all the rest of them came.
Yeah.
Garrisons and all that.
Yeah. Was there much talk at the time about how odd it was to be building an earth-filled dam?
No, we had to go through all that. You see, that's why we had to slide. We had to learn all those things.
So yeah. Right.
And then Russia finally built one like it. Someplace in Russia, I understand.
Where were you the day of the slide?
I was in my office looking out the window, but I never knew about that, see? But I did a few minutes later, little after it happened. But I remember I was looking out the window that time at the dam because my office just could see the face of it. But at that time we had the little railroads going up there and boats in there and the barges in there and the pumpers in there. So I didn't get to go out there. In fact, the matter is we closed it out and didn't let anybody get out there for a long time because you had to get all the soil experts in the country then. What we had, 7 or 8 of them came out there to research that and investigate and find a cause. And I remember they were sitting down in the basement of the ad building there arguing and fighting amongst themselves as what caused it, you see.
Because
it was quite a chemical thing in those days.
Yeah, right. As you say, this is where they were really learning what bentonite would do.
Of course, there was no bentonite there. It was putting in too much water too fast, the topsy. That didn't go down fast enough.
Maybe you can describe this for me. Was there a kind of a pool in the middle of the dam, a settling?
Yeah, there was a pool going down the middle, and there we had boats that pumped up the soil and the water from down below. They pumped it in there and let it settle. Well, if you put it in too fast, something's going to happen. It's going to come out through a fissure of some kind.
Which is what happened.
Which is what probably happened. I don't think that you did get those seven soil experts of the world together.
to
I was down there, they locked themselves in. You could even hear them fight amongst themselves for a while before they made their final report.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is about the same thing that they do with the nuclear stuff nowadays.
Yeah.
Of course, I went to the Atomic Energy Commission.
Well, I saw that in your letter. You were over here in Hanford, weren't you?
Yeah. Hanford. I was there during one of these, during all that period of time when I'm supposed to be having cancer. Then, and on top of that, I went from there. I went to Fresnel, and that was worse yet.
I see. That,
you saw the papers probably about the dump they had. Yeah. The old dump. Well, I used to walk around there with ordinary shoes on when it was plutonium was first being experimented.
Is that right? Is that
my job then was to try to find somebody that could machine plutonium and zirconium and all that stuff.
Well, you came out of it looking pretty good.
Yeah. No, but not according to all the people that live there now. They're trying to get sue the government for a few bucks or some kind. Or maybe it's you fellas that write the stories about it.
No, I think there's a group over there. I think the downwinders have had their have done it themselves, as they call them.
So, sure do.
Yeah. Did you know some of the guys who were killed in the slide? Were they?
No, we didn't know too much of them. They were fellows out there with mostly. Well, there's some of them were on dredge boosters because it went. One of them went down. Most of the railroad went down into the bottom, but I didn't really know any of them.
You sort of associated with your group,
and we belonged into a group of what you would call clerks, pencil pushers and clerks, just starting out and all that kind of stuff. And we belonged to that kind of group.
Yeah.
We finally got up to be division heads and section heads and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Get the
Did you
in other words, you didn't associate with the hoi poi or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Right. Did you ever see this book by M.R. Montgomery, Saying Goodbye?
No.
You know that? Huh. I'll, well, it's Montgomery is a Boston newspaper man, and his father, Monty Montgomery, worked at Fort Peck. He was an engineer. I meant to copy down.
Monty.
He was, I can't.
Morris
Montgomery. He's dead now, long dead. But I write that down.
Where did you find it? Where did you hear about the book?
It came out a couple years ago and reviewed in the New York Times.
I don't think it's in there.
Montgomery.
I've heard of we knew a Montgomery, but I don't think that Morris is.
He had a brother there too.
Where's that other one I gave you? This one.
What
not
brother's
in there,
name
is it?
Was.
Let's see if it's in here.
M.R. Montgomery. The first half of the book is about Fort Peck.
Maybe that's one of the books that I just heard about recently that the Glasgow Courier was putting out. Sorry, somebody working for the Glasgow Courier or something like that.
Well, this one is...
I heard they were putting out one, but I never heard any more.
But that was published by a New York publishing house, Knopf. You can probably find it in a public library, or it might even be in paperback by now. So.
Well, with some of the people that, like Bobby Wimmer and those people that are interested in that historical stuff from there, that lived there, their relatives are still there, but...
Yeah.
She used to tell us about all these different publications.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of pictures and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, write her a letter. She'd like to...
Okay, I'll get her on the case here, huh?
So does Von Eschen, I think. Her address is in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, well, she lives in Bozeman now, Harold.
Well, they're only really down there at during the summertime.
Winter.
I mean, during the winter.
Yeah, during winter,
Mesa,
yeah.
The winter, but they're in Bozeman. I see.
Lives in Bozeman somewhere.
I see. I'm in Bozeman a couple times a year anymore, as it turns out. So.
I don't suppose she has. We don't have addresses in there. Do we? Bozeman? Does she have?
Seems like took it up in that telephone book.
Yeah, and it's.
She's moved since she wrote this.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, all this. Kind of detail helps me.